Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent, full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
There's a whole lot of shaking going on, from earthquakes in Nevada to celebrating God's design. The foundation of NATO is starting to show a huge crack. Is the Catholic Church making a comeback? There's a revival emerging in Cuba with prayers that can't be denied, and we'll admit with stories like these that these are the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, May 8th. 2026. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with your skeptical friends. You can read the articles we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or just grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now here's someone to inform us that the main function of the little toe is to make sure all the furniture is in place. And that's Pastor Mark, who was having a disagreement with his wife last night because she says he never listens to her, or something like that.
They're both good. The toe one is the one that has the biggest. You know, last Friday, I may have cracked my thumb. I think it's been so sore I can't use it. And they don't do anything. I didn't go to the doctor because they don't do anything with a thumb. I mean, I thought about putting a baby cast on it and having everybody sign it. But either way, they don't do anything. They don't do anything for thumbs. So I thought, you know, leave it alone. But the thing is like, you do not realize how often you hit your thumb in normal life until it is extremely tender. Yes. I hit my thumb on everything. And it's like... So the toe thing,
yeah,
you're going to hit the toe, but I'll tell you, the thumb thing,
yes,
same kind of deal.
And bare feet are a good Lego detector too, by the way.
Well, yes.
It'll find all the Legos.
You can be hospitalized.
Yes, you can be hospitalized.
They have to go and surgically remove that from the bottom of your foot.
That's right. All right, before we get into articles, we're going to talk about some things in the ether.
Yes, and it's not a subject that's alien to our listeners.
No. Oh, that was very good. I like that.
Again, we're going to talk a little bit about, I just want to talk some guys, because this is all over the place. It's in the news everywhere. Joe Rogan just had Tim Burchett on talking about it, which I haven't seen that interview yet. I know that it's all over the internet, and Glenn Beck was talking about it, and President Trump releasing some, I guess, I didn't see the videos, but really you can't tell anything from them.
No.
Basically, it's like a camera in a room with no light, or just things in the way. Anyway, the point is, what's going on? Why? You remember, I remember, you know, as a kid, UFO, you were the crazy people. If you're talking about UFO or aliens, you're the crazy person. And maybe there was a movie you go and watch, and everybody's going to kind of like the idea of maybe something about it, and whatever. But nobody took it really seriously. Well, now it's the government. The government is the one that's pushing this whole I'll change this. I say alien UFO. That it's not alien UFO anymore. There's been a change. The government has taken it over, saying we've got something going on outside of our world that's affecting our world, and it's going to affect it more, and you guys need to know about it. And the government's the one pushing it, not crazies with little tinfoil hats on and this kind of thing, you know, and chasing Bigfoot down. But it's the government. And so it's gotten my attention here, because some of these videos they've released, not the new ones, but the old ones, it's undeniably something that's beyond any technology that at least is revealed. Now, there can be technology that's not revealed. But technology that's revealed, we have nothing that can do this. And I talked about some of these orbs and some of these things we're seeing that travel without sound and speeds we can't keep up with and make 90-degree turns. Some of that could be explained by gravitational technology, I think, with the center of the Earth and magnets. We talked about all that. I don't even know what it would take to do that, but there is at least some scientific thought that could go toward that.
Yes.
However, there apparently, Greg, is even more than that. Okay, I think if the government had that kind of technology, they wouldn't come up with something different. And the conspiracy theory guys would say, yes, they want to deceive the whole world and whatever. I do believe Satan wants to deceive the whole world, but I don't think necessarily the U.S. government does. They might want to deceive some people and get their agendas through and all that. But the point is this. Something real is going on that's outside of human normalcy. And for the Christian, we shouldn't be shocked at this. We know there are fallen angels. There's demonic activity. And it's real. And if you believe the Bible, it's real. Listen, the only person that would be shocked about this is the person that doesn't believe the Bible. This is real stuff. And again, the Bible said that this kind of stuff, you know, we know it's happened in the past. We know it's going to happen now. But there's interaction with fallen angels and mankind. There's even been interaction with holy angels and mankind throughout world history. And, of course, those are easier ones to do. But this all kind of stemmed from this apparent meeting that happened with some group of Tennessee pastors. They certainly didn't call me, but I'm a small fish in a big pond. And so either way, and they should have beamed me in. I'm Captain Kirk of all things.
You probably didn't tithe enough.
I should have been. But you're looking. I have connections to James T. Kirk, Starship Enterprise.
I know
why,
you are.
Why didn't they call me first?
And more importantly, you're a Calvary Plus member.
See, I don't know. You know, some things don't. There's a lot of things that the Lord will.
We're
going
to investigate
when
this.
When he comes back.
We're going to investigate this.
Everyone
Pastor
will
Mark.
Give an account.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
All right. So anyway, but what's happened is the government's now pushing this, Greg. And as the government stepped in, it moved from UFOs and aliens. Here's the new language now. They took new language.
Okay.
UAPs and interdimensional beings.
Okay.
Now,
what's a UAP?
A UAP is an unidentified anomalous phenomena.
Hmm. Sounds much more sophisticated than an unidentified flying object.
You know why? Because you can't fly in the ocean.
Oh.
But now they're seeing them in the ocean.
Yes, that's a good point.
So remember we talked about that. Tim Burch on his committee said, now we're seeing these things under the ocean, one that was as much as a mile wide, traveling at 200 miles an hour at the bottom of the ocean. And I said, that could be some kind of magnetism technology that we have that nobody's talking about. But they're presenting it as, no, this is like outside of humans.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it could be, but it's not little green men from another planet. This is demonic. And it's interesting. It gives a little more credence to it to me, Greg, that they stopped calling them UFOs and they stopped calling them aliens, because interdimensional is what it would be if it were angels. The spiritual realm's in a different dimension than we are. As a matter of fact, there are some theologians even that believe, not even just scientists, that we have multiple dimensions, but some theologians believe that that right around us right now, if we could see the other dimension, we'd see the angels all around. And we know we could, because we have angels all around us all the time.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what's happening is, it would appear is some of these fallen angels are crossing that dimensional barrier and not only communicating with people here on the earth and maybe some government officials, but they're actually bringing materials in, which is really weird. How do you bring materials in from another dimension? Again, there's things we don't understand, but Tim Burchett and others, one other very well-known pastor that I respect greatly, has seen this, and he wouldn't lie about it. I know him. He's telling the truth. Objects that are not from this planet, but are made by something, by someone, and by metals that don't exist on this planet. So now the UFO person is going to say, see, I told you, there, yeah, I saw him, this kind of thing. Shot me with his laser eyes, whatever. But there's something going on here that's real. And the reason is the buzz on the internet, they had this meeting with these pastors, and this congressman from Missouri, they didn't say his name, I'm sure it wouldn't be hard to figure out, spoke with them over the phone and said, you need to prepare the Christians, your congregations, for what's about to be revealed, because it's going to freak them out. And he wasn't doing it to make people scared. My understanding was he was approaching it more of, we don't want people to stumble in their theology and their faith. His claim, apparently, and I haven't heard what the meeting was about. I'm trying to get what I can through internet and articles and whatever I can find, you know, this kind of thing. His claim apparently was that what's going to happen is that these interdimensional beings have revealed themselves and said, hey, guess what? We're really God. There really isn't a God. We tricked mankind. It's us. And now we're going to reveal ourselves to you. And we're the ones that made everybody, you know, we're connected somehow to Jesus, whether or not they're going to claim he was one of them or that they were God. And you know, the Bible and all, we gave you that. It didn't really come from this God out there in the universe. And they're going to try to discredit Jesus and the Bible and the God of the Bible. And it's interesting because his concern was, let your people know so they don't stumble at this, you know, whatever. Look, the true believer is not going to stumble at this.
Because they've already read the word.
God warned us. Look, the Bible says, again, it's going to be like the days of Noah in the last days.
Yeah.
And remember, in the days of Noah, angels crossed out of their dimension into ours. These interdimensional beings.
Yes.
Fallen angels. The Bible talks about them in Genesis 6. We often hear the term Nephilim. That means fallen one. The Bible says that these angels came basically into man's dimension and took on human form, had relations with women, and in that relations with women, had these children, and these children became giants, and that's how the NBA was formed. Again, that's at least how it says there. That's not in Genesis. The NBA part I added, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's good.
But anyway, that's how these giants were here, and that's where they came from.
Well, and Jesus also said that there will be many that will come in my name. And say that they are the Christ.
Well, you know, Greg, we've been talking about when's that going to happen. Remember I told you all the other signs are really exponential, but that one?
Because
we talked about it in previous programs. Okay. It came through Buddhism and it came through New Age stuff. But I'm expecting something more. Somebody to come on the scene and say they're Christ. Maybe this is it.
Now this ties into what you were talking about. Yeah. If they show up and declare that, well, okay, now I can reveal myself. I'm really Jesus.
Yeah. Right, right. And by the way, if you hear some of these sounds in the background of something going on, speakers and people talking,
I can hear them, yeah.
I hear it real loud in here, but if our listeners hear it, we're having a True Girl conference here tonight at the church, and they're in there checking the sound, and also it's just getting ready for a conference, but at least you know what's going on. It's not...
To help people understand the definition of a woman.
It's not, but this is not interdimensional beings interfering with our broadcast. But anyway, with that said...
Yes.
So here's what the Bible says. Go back to Genesis 6 again. The angels, it says, the sons of God had relations with the daughters of men. Very clear, distinct separation there. The sons of God, they're not spoken of often. I think three times in the Old Testament, but the other two times, it's angels. Very clearly angels. So there's a principle in hermeneutics called expositional constancy.
Yes.
So that means if God uses it one way, he uses it consistent. So because God used it two other places in the Old Testament to talk about angels, and he makes it very clear he's talking about angels, then when he comes to Genesis 6, the only way that it couldn't be angels is if God changed his mind and wasn't expositionally constant. So I believe, because of expositional constancy and the way God wrote the Bible, the hermeneutical principles that help us determine how God wrote the Bible, that indeed fallen angels, sons of God, came into, and by the way, in the New Testament, sons of God refer to Christians, but in the Old Testament, only angels, not Christians. So there's the distinction after Christ came. But anyway, so, and of course he created them, so they would have been like children. Anyway, I believe these angels came into these women, and it says there were giants in those days. I think that was a big part of the reason God had to judge the earth, because it was so infiltrating the DNA of man and mankind that God had to wipe it out and start over.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about that is I have an article we shared before on the broadcast that I keep a file on, so in case they cancel it somewhere. But I've got an article from a science magazine, maybe a Technology Today. I forget the name of the magazine. But it talked about they have now discovered non-human DNA in humans. And since animals and humans can't come together in their DNA mix, it has to be something that would mix with humans. So it can't be an animal. It's got to be another being besides humans, but non-animal. And so when you read the article, they get to the end of the article and they say, obviously, aliens came and had relations with mankind, and that's how this DNA got in man's DNA, et cetera. Well, no, aliens didn't come. interdimensional beings did. And these interdimensional beings from another dimension are the fallen angels. So that happened already in Genesis 6. And the Bible tells us that God locked them up early. The fallen angels are all going to be locked up and judged at some point. In Revelation, it says they're finally locked up and they're done. But it says Peter says he put them in a place called Tartarus. Okay? And it's in the heart of the earth. And God locked those angels who left their proper domain. Talks about it in Jude. Talks about it in Peter. And they left their proper domain. And so God locked them up because they did this deed of this relations with women, taking on human form and being with women. And if you say, well, angels can't take on human form. Well, yes, they can. You see it all through Scripture. We see two angels coming with Jesus when he talked to Abraham about Sarah giving birth to Isaac. That's only one example. The two angels that went into Sodom and Gomorrah, they're the same two angels that were with Jesus. So angels take on human form, and the Bible says that you've entertained angels unaware. Mm. So if angels don't take on human form, then how are we being? Of course you're unaware. You couldn't see them. You had to be able to see them to be tricked, right?
Yes.
So anyway, and I never thought, Greg, that would happen again. I kind of saw that as a part of the last days we'd never see happen because, you know, you think that first group of angels learned their lesson and they're not going to do that. But then Jesus did say something very interesting. He said, in the last days, it'll be like the days of Noah.
Have you done an exegetical on that to determine exactly the meaning like, and is it like
similar?
Similar,
yeah.
Just
it
similar.
It just means similar, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So those things can repeat themselves.
Yes. Yeah, but he didn't tell us that would repeat.
Yeah, he didn't say what things. He just said it will be like the days of Noah. So
right.
Is it talking about in totality of what was happening during that time?
I think so. And again, we know this. We know that this says the whole earth was filled with violence.
Yeah.
And
Look at today.
Yeah. Then you take the rest of Scripture, the full body of Scripture, and what we can put together is, this is the only way I've ever thought about it. Okay. You put the totality of Scripture together and you see in the last days, there's going to be rebellion to authority. There's going to be increased violence all over the earth.
2 Timothy.
And a rejection of God and all these things.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've never included fallen angels having relations with man or getting involved with mankind. Okay. I think maybe we need to start thinking about that. I don't know if they're going to actually have relations with mankind or if they're just going to interact with mankind. I do know this. Matt Gaetz, a former congressman who also works with Tim Burchett, who's on the current board, right now as far as this whole subject.
Yes.
Matt Gaetz is claiming that already they know that these interdimensional beings have taken on human form and had relations with women already in our generation. He's making that claim. Now, this is where people go, you're getting conspiracy. Guys, listen, all I'm doing is I'm not telling you what's right or wrong. You need to know what's going on because you're going to be hearing about this, and I want our audience to be educated. You need to be ready for what's coming. And so we know what happened in Genesis 6. He said it'll be like the days of Noah. We may see this happen again. I think it is happening in some form and fashion. I don't get the whole reptilian thing they're talking about with it unless you think about the serpent. Being a reptile, you know, I don't know what the connection is there, but they claim that some of them, they seem to have a reptilian type, whatever, this kind of thing. And but I don't know what it's going to be.
Reptiles can go in the water.
The whole thing is
very interesting.
It is.
Listen, but here's the bottom line, Pastor Mark. If we didn't have the Word of God and what God has told us, and then we heard these stories without this knowledge.
Yeah.
We would think that people were crazy.
Absolutely. And probably those listening to us would change the dial right now.
Yes.
And I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
Listen, without Scripture, this is crazy
talk.
This
is crazy talk.
But the Bible says, here's what we do know. I believe you can make a strong theological argument for interaction between angels and women on the earth.
Fallen
angels and having children. And the result was giants in Genesis 6 before the flood.
Yes.
And now, because they said it would be like the days of Noah, and we see all the things Congress is talking about, and the president's releasing, and more things are going to be releasing, depending on what that is, again, there's probably, I think we can say this confidently, there is demonic interaction right now with mankind, but it's not aliens. It is demonic interaction from another dimension. It's the spirit realm. So the science is getting it right on saying it's interdimensional beings. What they're not understanding is they're simply demons. They're fallen angels. They've been kicked out of heaven, and it's going to be like the days of Noah to some degree with them interacting with man. The Bible says in the last days there will be doctrines of demons. I think part of this are the doctrines of demons that are coming in. So, again, I don't know where this is going, but again, I'm just saying, I don't know if really anybody's going to make the claim that this is something where, you know, they're going to come out and say, Jesus isn't real and God's not real. It's always been us. It's not going to stumble the true believer. Matter of fact, it shows us we're right on target.
Yeah.
But the world's going to grab it and use it to mock the church if that kind of information is given. But just be aware of it. Again, the bottom line is we are going to see more and more of this in the last days. And so expect it. This is a reason not to be challenged in our faith, but to be excited, because it's exactly as what Jesus told us was going to happen. He's the Lord. He's our God. His word is true. It's been proven for thousands of years. This is doctrines of demons and deceptions in the last days. And we need to at least be aware of it.
All right, let's go to our first article in our Israel section, and we land on the timesofisrael.com for an article dated May 3rd that says, 21 arrested for trying to sacrifice a baby goat on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, again, this is...
I thought we only sacrifice sheep, not goats. What?
No, you do both.
Do you do both?
Sheep
okay.
and goats are okay. acceptable, yes.
Okay.
The main Passover is for the lamb and the whatever, okay. but I mean, for sacrifices, you can obviously offer goats as well.
Okay.
It was the second time, it says, as in just as many months, that a group was arrested for attempting to perform a traditional sacrifice at the historic site of Judaism's two ancient holy temples. While the temples have not existed and the Jews have not performed such sacrifices for nearly 2,000 years, small groups ascend the mount perennially to try to revive the ritual without success. The group that took a goat on the Temple Mount Friday was attempting to perform the sacrifice in honor of Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. The way they do it is that the Lord said, if they missed the first Passover because they were unclean, they said, Moses, what do we do? And so Moses sought the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses and said, oh, okay, they can do it, but not at that time. They've got to miss it because they're unclean. A month from now, 1 month later, you can have a second Passover. So that's something we see in Scripture. And God gave it this last second Passover was May 1st, Friday. That's why on the second Passover, May 1st, they tried to get up on the Temple Mount. I'm not sure why they didn't try it on the first Passover, but either way, well, they did. No, I guess that's what they're saying they did. I didn't realize they'd actually, I knew they'd go in the Jewish square and they do one, but apparently they tried to get up on the Temple Mount. I must have missed that. It says, before the destruction of the second temple in 70 AD, the day offered an opportunity for Jews who were unable to bring the Passover sacrifice to do it a month later. Police said that on Friday, a group of rioters, so this was a big deal, they were fighting to get in there, arrived at one of the entrances, tried to break through the gate with the goal of bringing a baby goat onto the grounds of the mount, thereby disrupting public order. Mm. They were arrested before they could perform the ritual sacrifice. The detainees were brought to the Jerusalem Magistrate's Court, and police sought to keep them in custody, but a judge released them. Small groups have been trying to bring back sacrifice to the mount for years, connected to a fringe movement. Now, I'll come back to that. A fringe movement that seeks to build a third temple at the site. Listen, it's a fringe movement right now, but it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. This will not be a fringe movement. This is going to be a mainstream movement where they will rebuild the third temple, and they're going to be sacrificing animals up there. It's going to happen. The Bible says so. And what's interesting is it tells us in Daniel they will start the sacrifices about 6 months before the tabernacle is built. Some believe it'll just be an altar and they'll be giving the animals while they're building the third temple. Some believe they're going to set an actual tabernacle up with a tent and everything up there and as they're building it. Nearby,
that would be wonderful.
So they'll have a tabernacle nearby, having the services and doing it, and then be building the third temple at the same time.
So let me ask you, Pastor Mark. So this is kind of I had never heard of this second chance or make up Passover.
Yes.
So now let's. I'm just curious about the rest of the feasts. Do any of the other feasts have a second chance or a make up?
They don't.
That's Passover is the only
it's
one.
It's the only one. Yeah.
Okay. I was just looking for something, but it's not there.
No,
okay.
It's the only one, yeah.
All right. Our next article comes from YNetNews.com, dated May 6th. The U.S.-Iran deal won't meet Israel's war goals on nukes, missiles, and proxies.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I think still we may come up a little bit short on really what we need in this, Greg. I'm hoping the president pushes through, but I'm kind of wondering. And here's the thing to remember, guys, before we get into the article. Whoever's in charge, we've talked about this, they still have to want to attack Israel, and they're going to. So the fact that the old regime would stay in place is really right in line with Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean a new group couldn't get in because all the other ones died. But if it's the same mindset, it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that a new group couldn't
get in.
Same
spirit.
Yeah, and then be deceiving and still go after Israel because they're going to.
Yeah.
But the fact that they may end up kind of keeping their mindset and authority structure in place really lines up more with Scripture anyway. But Israel fears the emerging agreement between the U.S. and Iran will not restrict Tehran's development of ballistic missiles. Israeli officials are also concerned it could undermine the IDF's freedom of action in Lebanon and perhaps even lead to a demand for withdrawal. So they're not going to get all their things maybe done north or there in Iran, they're saying, if this doesn't go right. Some diplomatic officials are warning that the IDF could be handcuffed and paralyzed in Lebanon. Another concern raised in Israel is that the agreement will unfreeze billions of dollars for Iran, where they can start rebuilding.
I know.
The official said Wednesday night that most of the Israeli defense establishment supports continuing the siege on Iran, arguing that the Islamic Republic is collapsing from within. But by the way, guess what they're doing? You know, they said they get so much oil, if they don't release it, it breaks all their equipment.
Yes.
They're now releasing it in the ocean.
Oh.
There's a huge oil slick starting to form right around Karg Island, and they're just letting it pour because they want to keep their equipment working. So they're just dumping it out the ocean. The ocean can fill up with oil now. Yeah. So, and don't freak out over that if you environmentalists. Yeah, it'll hurt the immediate animals right around that side, but oil's natural. It'll sink to the bottom and go right back into the earth where they pulled it out of.
Exactly.
So long-term, it won't
long-term.
Hurt. Long-term. Long-term, it won't hurt anything, but it will hurt the nature life and the wildlife right around that region quite dramatically for a while. Israel is also disappointed that the emerging agreement would limit uranium enrichment for only 15 years. In other words, you can start building a bomb again in 15 years. Mm. It says, and I quote, "How is this much different from Obama's nuclear deal?" One Israel official asked. That deal had a sunset clause, and so does this one. Iran cheated anyway, and will have to wait in any case, and then break out to the bomb when Trump is no longer there. That's the concern. If they don't.
No, exactly.
It's, you know, I hope that somehow he follows through in a greater measure than what they're saying here in whatever. And Greg, apparently today, Iran's supposed to respond to America's latest offer, and if they don't, he's saying he's going to go in and maybe do this larger sweep.
He can't. Well, anyway, that's a topic not to be on the air. All right. Let's go to our next category. On the boats and on the planes. All right. As we come back to America, we come to a story provided to us by the Gateway Pundit. But it's if you live in Tennessee, you've no doubt already heard about this. That Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, has ditched Pride Month for Nuclear Family Month.
Praise the Lord. What a great thing for our state to have done. I mean, this is something that really is, this whole issue, you know, is something that is, it's just an affront to God and what God's word says. Again, not that God doesn't love them, the sinner, but the sin is an affront to God. And so for our nation to make a stand and say, we're not going to support this this sinful direction, it's wonderful. Tennessee, on April 9th, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee signed a House Joint Resolution officially designating June 2026 as Nuclear Family Month. I love that, instead of Pride Month. Lee signed the House Joint Resolution on April 9th. It is a departure from the national recognition of June as Pride Month. The legislation highlights the importance of celebrating the traditional family unit described as consisting of one husband, one wife, and any biological, adopted, or fostered children. The nuclear family is under attack in our beloved state, I'm quoting, and it is our responsibility to uplift, protect, support values that help Tennessee prosper, the resolution adds. The pushback against pride displays is taking place across the country. The woke mayor of Boise, Idaho, Lauren McClain, was finally forced to remove the rainbow pride flag because of an implementation of a new flag law. So multiple states, including Florida, Texas, Alabama, have passed or proposed restrictions on pride events in public schools, government buildings, and taxpayer-funded spaces. Now, that's great news, but let me just say this again, too. The whole thing about, it's like taking something God says is sinful and getting prideful about it. And saying, now I'm going to be, here's my sin, I'm going to flaunt it before God and mankind, and I'm going to be prideful about it, which God hates pride, and I'm going to force everybody else to go along with my sin, accept it, and hopefully be a part of it. This is a huge affront to God. So for our governor to make a stand on this, praise the Lord for him. And again, I'm thankful that our state made a stand, because God will bless our state for that.
All right, in our One World Government section, we have one article provided to us by Breitbart.com, dated May 3rd. Globalist leaders are fearing the end of NATO.
Have we not been saying this?
You definitely have. And you saw this coming as a result of previous actions and statements made by President Trump. And then President Trump, shortly after that, came out and basically said, you know, we need to consider our involvement in NATO going forward.
Yeah, and also it lines up with, again, a whole new world structure with the 10 toes in Daniel chapter 2. We can't be being led by a UN
forces,
or NATO.
It forces Europe to take the lead for themselves and become the center of prophetic fulfillment.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that NATO and the UN have to be out of the way of these feet, or we're going to have stumped toes, as we talked about earlier in the broadcast. So Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk has warned that the Western NATO military alliance is in jeopardy of disintegration. In the wake of the announced U.S. troop downgrade in Germany, I would say I think NATO is going to disappear. I could be wrong. I think the UN is going to disappear as well, because we're going to head to Daniel.
Yes.
Yeah. On Friday, the Pentagon said that around 5,000 soldiers would be relocated from bases in Germany over the next year amid a broader shift in the forward deployment of U.S. forces. President Trump said on Saturday that the drawdown in Germany would likely be much larger, though he did not specify how many more of the approximated 36,000 troops there would be removed. President Trump has also suggested moving American forces out of countries such as Italy and Spain, all whom have been accused of disloyalty over their response to the conflict with the Islamic regime in Iran. Well, they have been disloyal. Writing on X, the Polish leader remarked this: the greatest threat to the transatlantic community are not external enemies, but the ongoing disintegration of our alliance. We must all do what it takes to reverse this disastrous trend. I don't think you can reverse it. I think we have started down a path. I could be wrong. Maybe NATO's going to be revived. Maybe the UN's going to be revived. Maybe the UN and NATO are going to be absorbed into these 10 toes. But my guess is you're going to see these things fade out, and they may even kind of hang on a little bit, Greg, until the Antichrist comes on the scene. But it's going to be a thing where, look, those have failed. They're done with. We're starting something new. You're out. Here's the new. And we're going to, you know, get on firm footing, so to speak, with these 10 toes and these new feet and go from there. So it's interesting to watch, and it's lining up perfectly with what the scripture says is going to happen.
All right. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast, and this episode will become podcast episode 414, which is easier to listen to than trying to assemble furniture with instructions written in another language. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we have Juana that enjoys Signs of the Times down in Florida, submitted not just one, but two questions for us this week. And here is her first question regarding the mark of the beast and the two witnesses. She says, by the time the two witnesses arrive, get killed and resurrected, will the mark of the beast be enforced yet? Because some may want to get saved through them, but already took the mark.
Yes, I think it's very possible that it's possible the mark could already be implemented by then, Juana, because that's going to be at the 3.5-year mark. But really, I think that probably the mark, again, it may be more likely right there after they die at the mid mark, when he declares he's God and makes everyone bow down to him. That would be, again, a greater time to enforce the mark, because he makes everyone obey. But the mark could be in place prior to that. We don't have a timing of the mark that's going to happen. It's going to be after the rapture. But we don't know when the mark's going to take place for sure.
Well, and also, too, this could play out this way, too, Juana, that the mark could be used and in place. But the difference is that the Antichrist will make the mark enforceable by punishment of death if you don't take it.
Right.
So there could be an option of the mark to kind of condition society, which we see that with technology in general, right?
Yeah.
And then... Yeah. Anyway,
see, and I believe it's going to be a little while after the rapture, maybe even the 3.5-year point. Here's why I believe that, Greg. I believe God's going to give the whole world an opportunity to hear the truth as the angels fly around the globe.
Yes.
It says in Revelation 14 that angels will be flying around the earth preaching the gospel. And I think God's going to make the whole world hear the gospel.
And warning them not to take the mark, right?
Yes, and warning them, don't take the mark of the beast. So it's going to be after the angels circle for sure. And that's another thing. I think at the 3.5-year point, when he stands up and says he's God, it's going to be implemented. But here's, again, your question is, I know what you're saying. Would God not give these people a chance to be saved? The answer is yes.
Yes.
The whole world, even those who missed the rapture, they're going to hear the gospel preached by these angels that fly around the earth there in Revelation. And then after that, they'll be presented with the mark, but they're going to have a choice, either take the mark or die. And those who don't take the mark, they can still be saved. But they'll die for their faith. Some will live because some are going to make it to the very end. They're probably going to be in hiding. They're going to be running. However that's going to be, I don't know. Some form of deception or running they're going to be able to do for that 3.5 years. But there are going to be those that will get saved after the mark is implemented. But here's the thing. Once you take the mark, you can't be saved. So anybody that takes it can't be saved. So God will let them know about the gospel. Then the mark will be presented. Then they have a choice to make. Some will, some won't. The majority will. Those that don't, many of them will be put to death. Some of them will live and make it till the very end. But again, once you take the mark, there is no more chance of salvation. But God will give everyone an opportunity for salvation prior to taking the mark.
All right. Juana's second question has to do with the rapture. She says, so you've said there are those who believe we are already in the tribulation. So do they not believe in the rapture at all? How far into the tribulation are we in per the preachers who believe this? Are they prophesying that 2030 is the year of his second coming?
You know, I haven't heard any prophesying of a year that he's coming. I'm sure we will from time to time because somebody always does that and writes a book. But again, you know, those that believe we're in the tribulation, they believe we're at different places. Some will say, well, we're here at this place. Well, we're here at that place. So there isn't really a uniform agreement. They're probably all in the same ballpark on this one, Juana, as far as where they think we are. But the absurdity to think that we're in the Great Tribulation, first of all, but when the Great Tribulation begins, there's going to be a world ruler that everyone is going to know very well, and he's going to literally have dominance and rule the entire world. Nobody's here right now that's doing that. So it's impossible that we're in the Great Tribulation. If you were in the Great Tribulation, that guy would be there. We'd know who he was.
He'd be known.
Yeah, we'd talk about him right now. We'd know who he is. He would be running the world.
He'd be instituting the mark.
He would be the president of the world.
Yep.
Nobody else. He would be. So, first of all, it's absurd even to think that we're in the rapture or the tribulation. But as far as how far into it, some say, I hear different things. You know, I heard somebody the other day, well, we're in this, this trumpet's blown or that seal's. It's like, no, it read the Bible. It's impossible.
And the false prophet isn't even on the scene doing what he's supposed to be doing, which is pointing everyone to the one world leader, the Antichrist. I mean,
that's exactly
that guy's
right.
Not even on the scene either.
No, he's not. He isn't. And we have an article that's going to point to some of that being built up. But yeah, you're right. So no, the question is, you know, where are they? I don't know for sure. I think they're all in different places, Juana. But again, here's what we know. The Great Tribulation is not going to begin until we're out of here. And it was interesting. I saw some article the other day. The reason that the tribulation or the rapture has to be post-trib or something like that, or has to be mid-trib, it just kind of made me smile because it can only be pre-trib if you know the Bible and believe it literally. Because we are given the exact number of days. We're told in Daniel it's exactly 2,520 days after this world leader makes a peace treaty with Israel and all the surrounding neighbors. And so if we're here and we see that take place, in other words, anything but pre-trib, you'd see that happen. And if we're here and see that happen, every one of us could predict the exact day that the Lord's coming in the rapture. Because if it didn't happen then, it has to be mid-trib. So we could say, all right, well, 1,260 days from now, Jesus is coming in the rapture. Yeah. And for those who believe in the post-trib, we could say, well, exactly 2,520 days from now, Jesus is coming for us in the rapture. Jesus said no one will know the day or the hour of the rapture. He said nobody's going to know the day or the hour. He didn't say we wouldn't know after the Antichrist is on the scene, the day of the second coming.
Yeah.
Because once the Antichrist makes that treaty,
everyone
on the planet who knows their Bible, if they were here, could to the day tell when Jesus is going to come back, to the day. And Jesus said, no one knows the day of my return. So he has to be talking about the rapture and not the second coming. And it has to be something at the very beginning, or you could tell what the other two rapture positions would be, and you still could predict the day and the hour. So it's nonsense, and nobody's going to know the day or the hour. We're going to be out of here before that, and so looking forward to the Lord. Anytime, be ready. We need to be ready right now for the coming of the Lord.
Yeah. Juana, those are great questions, and if you've got questions like Juana, then do what Juana did. Just go to our website at thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and then you can submit your prophecy question to Pastor Mark. Okay, just having private conversations. All right. This is our One World Religion category, One World Religion, and this comes to us by way of CBS News. This is an interesting revival, Pastor Mark. Catholic conversions are rising inside the Catholic Church's quiet revival.
It is. Now, there's two
but
things.
But is it prophetic?
Well, again, yes, I think it is. There's two things. First of all, they say in the article, and part of the article, Greg, that I'm not going to, it's a long article, so I cut things out, that a big portion of this is just guys that are getting married to Catholic wives, and they want to get married to them, so they're becoming, so a lot of it's kind of, I need to become Catholic to get married. So
gotcha.
They said a lot of the numbers are not really something spiritual. It's more fleshly.
Sure.
And it's funny they admitted that in the article. Hmm. But the reason this is interesting to me,
yes,
is that I do believe that the woman riding the beast is the Catholic Church. So I would expect in the last days a rise of Catholicism, because that will be the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, stirring people to get involved in this a woman rise the beast. Now, with that said, I'm not saying that there aren't Catholics that are saved. Please don't misunderstand me. I do believe there are saved Catholics, but there's a lot of false teaching in Catholicism. And I do believe by what it says in Revelation that the Pope is going to be the false prophet. And I think that it's going to be leading into, again, a rise of Catholicism as we see this new supernatural power coming upon the Pope and the Catholic Church for the means of the demonic realm. It says, for more than two decades, the numbers told a story of decline. Adult conversions to Catholicism have been falling steadily since the 2000s. But since around 2022, dioceses across the country have reported a reversal in that trend. It said this past Easter, some archdiocese recorded their highest number of new Catholics in two decades. The cardinals acknowledged they don't have a complete explanation. Kupich said his archdiocese is actively surveying new members to understand their motivations. But he offered an early read, and I quote, research is showing that there really is a deep hunger in the hearts of young people for something that can help them with the meaning of life. But also there's a woundedness on the part of young people that are now seeking healing. So people are, look, the world's failing. The sparklies of the world don't satisfy. So man will naturally run to the spirit realm to try to fill that void. And so you're going to see an increase everywhere. But I do think you're going to see an increase of false believers increasing in the Catholic Church, because I do believe it's going to be the predominant false religion of the last days and the Antichrist. So if I could predict what was going to happen to the Catholic Church in the last days, I would think it's going to grow, and at some point grow a lot.
All right, let's take a look at some growing anti-Semitism. This article provided to us by IsraelNationalNews.com. This is dated May 4th. According to a report, Iran is operating anti-Semitic terror networks across Europe. No surprise there.
Yeah, no kidding. And by the way, when you let millions of people in that hate Jews, that are Islamic, into your countries, they're going to be operating terror networks. This didn't take a genius to figure out, and you wouldn't have to tell me this report. You could have asked me, Mark, do you think that they're operating more intense terror networks across
yes.
Europe? I go, yes. It doesn't take a report. How much money they spent and wasted on that. Just open your eyes, look around. An extensive investigation, and I would say a big waste of time, published yesterday in the British Times, revealed Iran is systematically operating anti-Semitic terror networks across Europe. Using social media platforms and recruiting local extremists to carry out attacks. At the center of the activity is the fact they let millions of them in. Now, let me go back. At the center of the activity is a terror group operating on the Telegram app under the name Harakat Ashab al-Yamin al-Islamia, which has been linked to a series of serious incidents, including the arson of ambulances belonging to the Hatzalah organization in London, Jewish, an attempted arson attack on a synagogue in Brussels, and knife attacks in Jewish neighborhoods. This is not to be confused with a group of lawyers chasing ambulances in the same area. I'm kidding. I added that. That's just me being silly. According to the report, Iranian intelligence and the Islamic Revolutionary Guard are actively working to recruit agents primarily among dual nationals and local youth. So you have the terrorist network chasing ambulances and the lawyers chasing ambulances. And those
well, you know,
groups,
Jesus had a problem with lawyers,
they're
too, by the way.
Look, they're going to have they're going to have to settle that. They're stepping on each other's territory here.
That's right.
So this could get rough. Look, I don't want to joke about terrorism. The point is, here, look, no surprise here.
No.
What are you expecting? You don't have to increase the number of the Islamic population to get a hatred of Israel. Increase it, and yes, this is going to happen.
They train them from when they are toddlers the moment to hate born. The Jews.
Absolutely, they do. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at some pestilence, plagues, disasters, and overall corruption. This first article comes from AccuWeather. We're going to look at an earthquake here. Actually, earthquakes continue to rock Nevada with two magnitude 5 tremors in recent weeks. Now, this article is obviously a week old, but nevertheless, still important to talk about.
Yes, yeah. And again, remember, this is what we're watching for. You want to don't get sleepy on this when you hear about increased earthquakes. It's going to come in sections and in contractions. Matthew 24, the Lord said it would happen. A little bit of this I'll read. Okay. A recent sequence of earthquakes in Nevada continues to jolt residents, with the latest ranking among the strongest so far at a magnitude 5.2. According to the U.S. Geological Survey data, there have been 205 quakes of a magnitude 2 or larger recorded since the 5.7 main shock last month. So be watching. You're going to see more of these earthquakes. You're going to see them happening in more frequency and in different places. I brought this up the last time it happened here, but when I was growing up, we never had earthquakes in our area. And suddenly, you know, we've had two that I have felt in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Two that I felt, and maybe the last 10 to 15 years. But I mean,
well, the one here just
within
a few 14
years for sure.
Well, one just here a couple of years ago, we all felt on a Saturday.
Yes. Yeah, but there was one that was, you know, there's the kind where it rubs side to side.
Yes.
And that's what we felt about a year ago. And that was a big shake. It lasts for like 10 seconds or whatever. The other one's one of those that drops and it just does this big boom. That would happen. It's been within 14 years for sure, because I lived in my old house. And so it's been within 14 years that would happen. So again, we never saw these kind of things around here, but you're going to see more and more of those around the globe because the earth is grumbling. I saw today in Indonesia, there was a big earthquake, volcano.
Volcano.
That wrote for the broadcast, so it's not in our notes. But either way, you're going to see more of this kind of earthquake, volcanic activity, because the Bible says the earth is groaning for the return of the Lord. Even as we are, the earth wants to, they want the curse lifted.
Exactly.
The plants are like, hey, I didn't cause this, that Adam guy. Here I am, just, you know, planted, you know, kind of just hanging out, enjoying life, you know. And, you know, well, look what happens. You get me cursed.
All right.
Poor
our next,
plants.
I know, poor plants.
Poor plants.
And poor cruise ship passengers.
Yeah, this is bad.
This is from apnews.com. What to know about hantavirus, the illness linked to a cruise ship outbreak. This is dated May 5th.
Yes, and I think it's actually pronounced Hanta.
Like is it Hanta?
Like a haunting.
Like a haunted?
Hantavirus.
A hantavirus,
I think is the way.
Okay.
And the only reason I know that, and I could be wrong because I'm sure our listeners will be looking it up online, but that's what we called it when we lived out west, is because it was happening out there, and so people knew about the hantavirus.
In East Tennessee, we call it Hanta.
Yeah, but the question is, will we be haunted?
Yes.
By the hantavirus.
That's a good point.
It exists throughout the world. It's spread mainly by contact with rodents. Again, it's rare and not easy for a hantavirus to spread between people. I guess apparently it can. Maybe a blood transfer. In severe cases, the virus can cause a deadly lung infection and kidney failure.
Who did you say the actor was that died from that?
Lex Luthor. His name's...
No, the one in New Mexico.
He played Lex Luthor in Superman.
Oh, yes.
Hold on.
Gene Hackman.
Thank you. Gene Hackman and his wife.
Yes.
They both died, it would appear, of the hantavirus.
Yeah.
And what it is, it's basically, it's rodent droppings, and if it turns to dust... then you breathe it in, you can catch it, or if it gets in your food, that kind of thing. So it was an issue out west. I've never heard of it here, and I still don't know of any cases, but I think it has happened somewhere near our state recently, which is interesting, maybe even in Tennessee.
Okay.
So we're seeing, but what is it? Matthew 24, the Lord said we're going to see more and more of these things happening in the last days. That is increased pestilence and plagues.
Yes.
The virus, which usually spreads when people inhale contaminated residue of rodent droppings, has been confirmed in two of the cases. The World Health Organization said detailed investigations of the cruise ship outbreak are ongoing, including further laboratory testing and other work aimed at determining the source of exposure. Officials suspect the first infected person likely contracted the virus before boarding the ship. Which is interesting, because I don't know, that would mean that maybe there was some type of a fluid transfer there, or maybe it's husband and wife. I don't know what happened there, or blood. I don't know. But the WHO says the risk to the global population from this outbreak is low. Now, who knows? People have, I've been hearing things like, here's the next COVID. You know, they're going to try to, you know, lock us down from hantavirus. That would be a hard one to lock down on because it doesn't transfer easily between people. And again, you're not going to have a sudden increase in mouse droppings that everybody's eating. So I think this is going to be a thing where I don't know if they would pick this one. They tried the monkeypox thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which again, didn't spread. And that was kind of like, that's not going anywhere. I don't think the hantavirus is going anywhere either. We will see. Well, our main focus as believers, we need to realize that, again, in the last days, plagues and pestilence will increase. The Lord told us it was going to happen. And I think we're just seeing some of that come to pass even now as we speak.
All right. In our church segment, we've got an article here from Fox News dated May 3rd. Archaeologists uncover a massive artifact depicting Pharaoh, thought to have challenged Moses in the book of Exodus.
Yeah, now again, first of all, this is a cool find, but whether or not it really has anything to do with Moses, I would question because they're
just
so,
reinforces the truth of God's word, right?
Well, no, here's the thing.
Okay.
They're so off on their dating.
Ah.
Let me take a quick moment on this, Greg.
Yes.
There's a great documentary called Evidence. Oh, man, what is it called? I wish I remember the name. Because the thing that popped in my mind was evidence that demands a verdict, but that's not it. It has something to do with evidence. But again, this man did a very in-depth documentary going to Egypt and doing archaeological digs and all that. What's interesting is, if you go to the right archaeological level in the strata, you see Jewish people live there in Goshen. And it's dated at a certain date. And then if you follow that date to when they went to Jericho, it works perfect when they came in the promised land and went in Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using the layer where all the Jewish houses are, they came a layer up and are using these non-Jewish things saying this is when the Jews were here and Pharaoh was here.
Mm-hmm.
Now follow me on this.
Okay.
When you follow that timeline, it doesn't line up with what the Bible's timeline was when they came in Jericho. So here's what they say. See? That proves the Bible's wrong. See what they did there?
Yes.
So rather than going to the obvious level that shows where Jews live there, they went to a different level. They dated at a different time
to discredit the Bible.
To discredit the Bible.
Okay.
And I think that this particular guy is dated to the wrong dating scheme. So I don't think he's connected to Moses at all.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, it's kind of a cool archaeological find. You know, again, if you don't know the answer, go ask your mummy. But listen to what it says here. Archaeologists in Egypt recently uncovered a massive statue believed to depict King Ramses II. Now, King Ramses II may be the right pharaoh that was there, but not the timing. It gets convoluted. The pharaoh believed to be a major character in the Old Testament. The statue was found at Tel Pharah. That's the hill of Pharaoh where this site was. Again, on April 22nd, the site is in Egypt's Nile Delta, northeast of Cairo. Officials also describe the statue as being remarkable in size, weighing between 5 and 6 tons and measuring over 7 feet long. In a translated statement, the ministry described the statue as being in a relatively poor condition of preservation with its legs and base missing. Still, officials describe the statue as likely representing King Ramses II. Now, again, as far as the different, the pharaohs and whatever, it's kind of hard to nail down which one was which, but I think their whole timing is off. I think that's probably just a very cool discovery that they found there, but I don't think it's anything for us to chase down, and I don't know that it's not prophetic or anything like that I can tell.
Okay. Is that name of the movie or documentary you saw called I Am Evidence?
Maybe.
Okay.
I wish I could remember.
That just came on the secret text line. So.
All right, I've got it on my desk at home, and it is a fantastic documentary. And what's neat about it, Greg, he goes and he does this in the strata area that they found all the Jewish home, the Semitic homes, right? They found, in the midst of all these Semitic homes, they found an Egyptian-built compound home.
Mm.
And in the Egyptian-built home, in the main room, it had 12 pillars, and out back had a special statue of a man who was Semitic wearing pharaonic clothes, holding a staff showing authority.
Like it's supposed to be Moses?
Joseph.
Joseph. Oh, yes.
He was wearing a multicolored robe.
Robe. Oh.
And was Semitic in his hairstyle.
Interesting.
Get this.
Yeah.
Here's what they found. Now let me go back and say that again. In the middle of the Goshen, in all the Semitic homes, they found a very wealthy pharaonic home, Egyptian home built, with 12 pillars in it. 12 tribes of Israel.
12 tribes of Israel, yes.
And out back, a special monument built to someone in that family who had a multicolored robe, who was authority in Egypt, and had a Semitic character thing showing he's there, and had his own shrine built to him. Is that not awesome? No doubt that's exactly what he went and built probably for Jacob. He built it as a memorial for the tribes.
Right.
They built a thing there showing he was the ruler of Egypt, probably to help them say, don't forget us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when Joseph died, a new Pharaoh came that didn't remember them. Probably was a monument built to say, don't forget.
Don't forget.
Don't turn on us. Who knows? But that's the kind of stuff this documentary exposes. And again, from that dating strata, it works perfect with the timing of coming into Jericho. But with the world's dating strata, it's off. And they say, see, that proves the Bible isn't true. Oh, we think the Bible has some good historical evidence, but that proves it's not true. No, this is demonic. It is satanic, trying to deny the Bible. And when you do your real homework, it lines up beautifully with the Word of God.
Well, hopefully you can check that on your desk in our next episode. We can update our listeners on the name of that, because I think a lot of people would enjoy.
You need to order
that.
It is fantastic.
Yes. That will be next
week. And
well
documented by somebody with great footnoting.
Yes, very good. All right, our good news article this week is furnished by Breitbart.com, dated May 1st. This is an exclusive, according to Breitbart. A Christian revival in Cuba, inside the regime-defying prayer events for freedom.
Brought to you by Breitbart.
Brought to you by Breitbart.com.
Since 1985. Yes.
This is true. Not a sponsor of the program.
That's right.
But
yeah. But maybe
we'll give them a plug.
Maybe they'll pick it up because, why don't we sponsor them?
Yes.
Anyway, Cubans who make great sandwiches in nearly
coffee
in nearly two dozen churches of different denominations nationwide joined a global prayer effort on April 26th, calling on God to bless the island and free it from the communist tyranny. This is so great. I love seeing God doing a fresh move there in that communist country. The prayers occurred alongside a massive event in Miami, Florida, which is Little Cuba, right? That day titled Little Havana. That day titled United for a Free Cuba, that featured a wide variety of artists, journalists, former political prisoners, activists, and notable individuals within the Cuban exile community. The event attracted national attention, the United States, but U.S.-based organizer Orlando Gutierrez Boronat told Breitbart News it was meant as a support event for what was taking place on the island, a collective prayer in the context of a larger Christian resurgence in a country with more than half a century of history of Christian persecution. Again, there were a lot of Christians there before they made it communist, back when, Cuba was taken over, with Castro and all that happened there. And now, again, that more pressure is being turned up on Cuba, you're seeing a greater resurgence of, hey, let's take our island back. Today, Cuba remains one of the most dangerous places to practice Christianity, despite dictator Castro's personal embracing of the late Pope Francis. Despite the persecution, thousands, potentially millions, continue to flock to the faith, as they did so on Sunday, expressly to pray for a better future for their country. So pray for our brothers and sisters in Cuba.
Amen.
It says, although overall pressure on Christians in Cuba remains extremely high, government hostility has become more targeted and adaptive, the group observed. Christians who, because of their faith, voiced dissent, or refused to align with the regime continue to face harassment and intimidation. This is especially so for leaders and members of the non-affiliated churches. So again, it's great to see God pouring out his spirit there. We need to be praying for them. And I want to pray for them even right now that God would really pour out his spirit on them. So let me do that real quick. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in Cuba. We pray, God, you continue to pour out your spirit on the believers that are there. We continue to pray you'll bring in new believers that are there. And God, that you would turn that from a communist, God-hating island and country into a place, God, that honors the name of Jesus Christ, even as it will be during the millennial kingdom.
Yes.
Let it begin now, Lord. Have mercy on our brothers and sisters there. And God, also, I want to pray for your mercy and protection on our brothers and sisters right now in Africa that are dying for their faith. God, watch over them and protect them. And I know they have a special reward in heaven, but have mercy on them. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And again, I'll just say this, Greg, as we finish.
Okay.
If God is convicting you by listening today, so I know we have a lot of unbelievers. You're out there. Your windows are rolled up, the shades pulled down, but you're listening to a Christian radio station. God loves you.
Yes.
He knows you're listening. He's speaking to you right now saying, you know that you are a sinner and you need to repent of your sin and be saved. You can't go to heaven with that sin on your life. But if you'll ask him to forgive you right now, and believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and poured his blood out for you and resurrected 3 days later, the Bible says you will be saved. You will be born again and your place in heaven will be reserved. I want to encourage you right now from your heart, not your head, not your mouth, from your heart. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Confess your sin. Repent and turn from your sin. Get involved in and give your life to Jesus. And then find a good church. You're welcome. We invite you to Calvary Chapel here. We have Saturday night services, 2 on Sunday morning, a Wednesday night, a Sunday night. Plenty of opportunities. Look us up online or find somewhere where you can get fed the Word of God and get plugged in, because Jesus loves you and we love you and we want you in the kingdom of God, because the Lord's coming back soon.
Yes, he is.
Indeed.
Pastor, yes, he is. Well, Pastor Mark, thank you so much as always. And folks, thank you for tuning in each and every week. We invite you to visit not only the church website, calvaryknoxville.org, so you can get plugged in to our local fellowship if you live locally, or you can listen to us all over the world at thewaymedia.net, where you can listen to our live stream teachings, our radio station, and previously recorded content that has been recorded from the pulpit right here at Calvary Knoxville. We wish you a great week in the Lord. Celebrate your moms this Sunday and come back next Friday at 1:30 as we continue to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM Knoxville.